Hi, welcome to the Brick Filmers Guild podcast, hosted by us, the Four Monkeys. On this podcast, we had the pleasure of chatting with Kevin Ulrich of Brotherhood Workshop. Brotherhood Workshop creates fan films such as Lord of the Rings, Hobbit, Star Wars, The Avengers, Jurassic World, and many more. So without further ado, here's our conversation with Kevin Ulrich. So we are here with Kevin Ulrich of Brotherhood Workshop. Welcome, Kevin, and thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for asking me.
Tell us about how you got into brick filming.
Well, way back. Okay. How far back should I go? Basically, I've been wanting to be some sort of storyteller or novelist since the point at which I knew careers were actually a thing, at like age 8, I guess. My original desire when I was 8 was to be a novel illustrator. And then I decided I wanted to do filmmaking stuff, and I actually like would try to do animation with flipbooks, and I am sure you can imagine how that works for a 10-year-old. It doesn't really work very well. And as I'm sure a lot of brick filmers got started in, I think it was the year 2000 when Lego released their Steven Spielberg Movie Maker set, all of a sudden there was a actual way that I could pursue doing videos or film in a way that I could actually understand, because when you're 11, like, trying to understand computer animation or trying to understand cell animation was like, okay, they have a light box and they have a camera over top and you're, like, switching out the cells and you're like, wait, what? How do you do this? But stop motion was something that basically I understood how it worked from the moment it was described to me. It's you take a picture, you move it, you take a picture. Oh, okay, that makes sense. So people talk about stop motion being so difficult, but honestly, it's basically the easiest form of animation to understand and to do at a young age, in my opinion, which is, I think, why so many kids start off doing it.
I think it mainly just takes the patience, which not all, especially kids, don't usually have, so it's kind of special. But really, it just really needs the patience to be able to do that.
I definitely did not have patience when I started. Between the age of 11 and 13, I produced 20 feature-length Lego animated movies at about 5 frames per second.
Wow.
On average, I get like 5 to 10 minutes of filming done a day because detail, who cares about detail? Just let me get it done. So that was how I started, and then when I was a teenager, I decided that Lego was beneath me because I was too cool for that, and so I did claymation instead. So I did claymation from age 13 up until a while. So I worked on claymation projects all through high school. I was a homeschool kid, which meant I had zero social life and plenty of time to work on my own projects because, I mean, what else did I have going on? And I also came from a military family, so that meant that we moved to a new house every 3 to 4 years, which meant having lasting friendships wasn't really a thing either. So I was very introverted and very isolated and therefore had lots of time to just learn to do something that only involved myself.
And your imagination, which is unlimited, which is really, you know, the key as well.
So did you get the Spielberg kit, or was...
I did, yes. I didn't get it right away because my dad said that was way too expensive for a Lego set, so he sold me his old camcorder for the same price. And then about a year later, we found that Lego kit for like $50 on clearance. So, yes, I ended up getting it.
Oh, okay.
Better nice, late than nice. Never.
So let's see, where was I?
Doing claymation.
I was doing claymation. When I started college, I decided that my stop motion days were over because that was just the means that I could do filmmaking at that point. It wasn't what I actually wanted to do. I wanted to do live action filmmaking. So I started at college and quickly found that the majority of all my classmates were doing moody pieces about people walking around their apartments feeling sad before themselves because as much as I thought, as soon as I have people and resources at my disposal, I'll actually be able to make something live action that I'm proud of. No, not really. It's very difficult to actually make an imaginative film that isn't animated without any money. So after about a year of basically deciding I wouldn't do stop motion anymore, I said, yeah, screw that. And so I went back and for 3 years in college, I made a half-hour claymation film and graduated college, submitted it to a bunch of film festivals, picked up 4 or 5 awards, but at the end of the day, it didn't really accomplish anything for me. I mean, I was hoping that it was going to go to a festival and then some big producer with money would see it and then they'd want to fund a feature-length sequel. Yeah, things didn't really work out that way.
Aardman hires you.
Yeah, Aardman.
Oh, that I actually did send it to them and they never said anything.
Oh.
But, Aardman doesn't need more animators.
That's true.
Like, they're very clear with that on their website. Like, do you want a career in Aardman? Well, we don't want you, is basically what it seems like it's saying. Like, we have more than enough animators for the work we have available. Do you think you're exceptional? Go ahead and send us a reel. We might look at it. That's almost exactly what their website says, if you read between the lines.
Well, I saw some of your stop motion, the claymation stuff, and it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, so if nothing else, you definitely pleased your fans with all of that, because a lot of people know you mainly for Lego, but yeah, your claymation is just wow.
And I like claymation quite a bit. It just takes longer.
Oh.
So, anyhow, so after college, I got a job working at a video production company primarily as an editor. Got to direct a few things, mostly like corporate videos, like stuff that McDonald's uses at their internal meetings and stuff like that to talk about like updates on their products and so on further. So, I worked there for 5 years. And after about 2 or 3 years, I just couldn't really take it anymore. I mean, I liked the company. I liked the people. They're still some of my closest friends. But I really wasn't getting my creativity satisfied with, you know, internal videos for McDonald's or for printers or all these other things. So just one weekend, I was trying to decide what the heck do I do with my life. I'm a religious person, so I spent a lot of time just praying, saying, God, what the heck do you want me to do? I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I just feel very unsatisfied. And then I was driving home from work the day after, and I just had this moment where I had the thought of, just go by the Lego store, buy some Lego Lord of the Rings stuff, you like those, and go make a Lego video. So, kind of came out of the blue. Perhaps divine inspiration, perhaps I just cleared my head. I'll leave it to you to decide what that was. So, picked up one of the Lego Lord of the Rings sets, made my very first video, which is the Orcs Aren't Evil video, posted that on YouTube, and then I shared it with my friend Zach King, who is rather famous on YouTube, and he clicked his little like button, and all of a sudden my views skyrocketed, and I realized this video that I did in a weekend has gotten me farther than my claymation film that I did in 3 years. Huh, maybe I need to change my mode of operating here. So,
at that point, history was made.
Yep, and so I started basically working 2 full-time jobs. I would work 40 hours a week at my day job, and then 30 to 40 hours a week also during weekends and evenings doing videos for my YouTube channel.
Wow.
And then after doing that for about 6 months, Toby from the Lego group sent me a message on Facebook and said, hey, we've seen your Lord of the Rings stuff, and we're looking for someone to do stop motion for our Hobbit toys. Are you interested? And I said, yes, I'm interested. And that relationship has grown. I've made some really good friends at the Lego group, and they've just been forking out more and more work for me. And 2016 is going to be crazy. 2013, they asked for 3 videos. 2014, they asked for 4. 2015, they asked for 4. And 2016, they've already scheduled 10.
Wow.
So. You have your hands full.
So good thing we're talking to you now, because it sounds like you are not going to have time to talk at all next year.
I've already cranked out 2 of them.
Awesome. Wow. Awesome.
Yeah, it was like you, it was like back in, say, 2012 or 13, never heard of you, and then I think that video came out, and you blew up fast. I was very impressed.
And now everybody knows who you are. Yeah. Love your work. It's just mind-blowing.
I believe you have a good 10 or 12 videos with over a million views on your YouTube channel alone, and then that's not including all the other stuff you did for, I guess, the How It Should Have Ended and a few other things, so pretty
impressive. How It Should Have Ended was definitely helpful in getting a lot of followers, so, and they're great people. I've worked with them like 3 or 4 videos. Love them. They're great people.
And that's commission work or just work you're putting in with them, or?
Mostly commission work. Okay, I mean, cool. They don't pay as well as other clients, as you can imagine, but it's also for the publicity, so.
Absolutely, you know,
it's a handoff.
I actually liked your Lego one for them more than I think I liked the Lego movie. Really? And it's got a little over 11 million views right now. Congratulations.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I have to give credit to them just because they've spent 6-7 years developing their audience. So if I had put that exact same video on my YouTube channel, it would not have done nearly as well. So they take the credit for that one doing so well.
Well, we owe it to Machinima for one of our videos with over 1 million views. So, in fact, we only have 2 videos with over 1 million views, and they're not on our channel. One's on Lego, and one's on Machinima.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
It's the video on my YouTube channel that got the most hits was the Raptor video, and that one's at 3.5 million. Which, compared to my Jurassic World video on the Lego channel, has 8 million, and then the How It Should Have Ended video has over 11, so, yeah, my biggest videos definitely are not on my channel, which, that's okay.
But still, everybody knows about them. It's so impressive, and, you know, everybody loves watching them. It's just nice. Everybody's heard of them anyway, and they know that you're the one that has done it, so you still get your credit.
Yeah.
That's worth a lot.
And honestly, the commission videos are the ones I generally like the most because that way I don't... It's always a matter of how much time do I have to work on this and how much is this actually costing me. So, I mean, not that I'm necessarily in it for the money, but money's helpful. Money is very helpful.
It
so.
Puts a roof over your head and food in your belly.
And helps pay for the product and so then the equipment necessary to do it. So
yeah, so when Lego Group is like, here, I say... Cool. I can take months on this video and have no guilt whatsoever.
Oh, sweet.
And you get a lot of creative freedom for that, or do they pretty much lay it out for you? We want you to do it like this, and then that kind of makes it easy too.
Generally speaking, they will send me a script and a storyboard they want me to follow. But one of the things they really like about me, and one of the things I like about them, is I have my own distinctive flavor and mannerisms I give my characters and stuff like that, and they don't dictate any of those. In fact, they are very clear, do your thing with it, make it your own, but make sure it follows these storyboards because we have to get buy-off from Warner Brothers or Lucasfilm or whoever it is. So, and I honestly think I do my best work when I'm taking someone else's ideas and just realizing their details. So if someone else has a good idea and they hand it to me and there's just enough wiggle room for me to figure out how to make it my own, that's honestly where I feel like I shine the most, because then I don't have to worry about, is the concept good? Doesn't matter if the concept's good. It's their concept. Just make it sounds great.
Yeah, I saw some of the storyboards I think you posted in a video or something like that, and they look very detailed, but nice that you have some flexibility.
Yeah, in my relationship with Lego at the moment, I mean, granted, every time I do something that's my own, there's the risk of the licensor coming back and saying, no, we don't like that, redo it, which is annoying and does happen on occasion. But generally speaking, I treat storyboards like pirates treat their code. They're more like guidelines.
Which is good. It's more fun to have a little bit of, you know, creative freedom that way. And you definitely have a special touch, so you can tell when it's your work.
So how many hours a week are you putting into brick filming?
70?
70? Wow.
Yeah.
And that's not all animation. There's a lot of building and whatnot, right?
It's primarily animation. Okay. A lot of the elaborate buildings I will hire my younger brother Brian to do for me. And then a lot of the more elaborate visual effects I'll hire my friend Rick Cortez to do for me. So I primarily do the brick filming. There's a lot of compositing time that goes into that as well, especially for the more elaborate videos with lots of green screen. And then I guess if you're also including email interactions, which weirdly eat up a lot of time, you're like, okay, I have 6 emails from the Lego group this morning. Okay, got to respond to all of them and make sure, oh, crap, these people are wanting a video in February. These people are wanting it too. Okay. You, the first person, can I do it in March? You, second person, can I do it in January? So, which that was my Friday, was one video got pushed to the point where another video was supposed to happen. I'm like, phooey, how can I make this happen? So.
Tell us.
I've enjoyed every job I've had with the Lego group.
And we've enjoyed seeing all of your videos from them.
So tell us a little bit more about, I guess, the other Brotherhood workshop folks. Like, I guess you have a brother, David, and Brian, and then Rick helps out with some video effects?
Yeah. At this point, it's primarily just me.
Okay.
Again, with Brian and Rick helping out when I pull them in and say, hey, can you help with this project? My fiance, Selena, will help out sometimes with, she does some of my concepts and scripts and stuff like that.
Oh, awesome.
And congratulations on your recent engagement.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Maybe she can start doing your emails soon.
I don't think that's what she wants to do. She has made it clear, I will work with you, but I will never be your assistant. And I said, that is fair.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
She really wants to be a writer for animated shows, so that's something she's, like, it's a mutually beneficial situation where I say, Selena, DreamWorks wants a How to Train Your Dragon video, give me a concept, and then she gives me a concept, and then I present it to them, they like it, I make it, she gets her name on the video, so that way when she goes in for a job interview, she's like, yes, look, these are videos I came up with the concept for, so it's mutually beneficial.
Incredibly helpful, that is awesome.
You recently won the grand prize in the Cinebrick. Are there some other festivals and awards that you've won or been involved with?
A few, but I haven't really been keeping track very well.
Okay.
Cinebrick was the most recent, and definitely congratulations on that win, both from the judges and the audience.
Thank you. I actually didn't think I deserved that one because I saw I don't remember the name of the animator, but the Fixed System, I thought that one was fantastic. I thought that one was supposed to win. Have you seen that video?
We
were the judges, one of the judges.
Oh.
So we saw all of them. And no, they were all very wonderful in their own way, but no, you definitely deserved it.
I was kind of, like, the animation on that one was a little bit rough and could use improvement, but I thought conceptually the way that they worked the storyline in with it being Lego, I thought, like, that's one of the things that I have a hard time with, and I feel like a lot of brick filmers have a hard time with, is I feel like brick films, when they are at their best, there is a specific reason why they are presented in Lego. For instance, I feel like if I had done Crazy Life as a claymation piece, or if I had done Crazy Life as a 2D animated piece or 3D animated piece, or heck, even live action, it would have been, the flavor would have been different, but the story still would have worked basically equally well. Whereas stuff like, honestly, like the Lego Movie or Fixed System, like, they just really took advantage of the fact that this is a brick-oriented society. This is a brick-oriented story. So I that was something I really appreciated. And that's not something I'm always able to do, but I at least somewhat try to do, is think about what makes this work distinctively well in the Lego medium, as opposed to it could be anything and I just chose Lego for this.
Okay.
So,
well,
anyway,
but
that's
just, the Crazy Life was great. I mean, obviously the music was great, but I mean, even without it, you could have just watched it with no sound or anything, and it was just such a beautiful, adorable story. And it was just really fun to watch, and of course, perfectly animated. A Fixed System did get Best Original Story because it was. But yours just was the whole package, so as usual.
Tell us about some of your non-LEGO animations. I guess Tube Heroes and, I guess, Ionics or whatever.
Let's see. Tube Heroes, basically the situation with them, that was actually very mutually beneficial situation for me in the old company where I used to work. Because the place where I worked for 5 years as a video editor, I actually still work out of the same office that they're in, because they had basically let me use their equipment for several years when I was trying to do both. And so when I quit my job, I talked to my boss and said, hey, I don't want to leave. This is where all the people I really like are, and this is where I really enjoy being. So can I just rent the space and the equipment that I'd be renting from someone else and just stay here? And he's like, yeah, sure, we love keeping you around. So with Tube Heroes, what happened recently was I had been doing work for Jazzwares, which is the company that does Tube Heroes. And they asked me for like 40 videos by the end of the year. And I said, I can't do that. And they said, but we need someone to do it. And so my buddy Rick, who does my visual effects and who works where my day job used to be, he said, just hand them to us and we'll take care of it. So basically, I connected my old company with Jazzwares. And they have been, and there's no animators except for me at the old company. So what they've been doing is I've been going on and finding a lot of the really skilled Lego animators, like a lot of the people who won at the Cinebrick Festival. And I've been contacting them saying, hey, do you want to work on Tube Heroes? And they say, yes, we'd love to. Or I'm too busy, which is totally fair. And then the Contexture, my old day job, they are basically managing the client relationship. And then Selena, my fiance, is getting to write the scripts. And then the other animators are getting hired to actually do the producing on them. And then whenever I have downtime from the Lego group or anything else, I just go back to my I just go to Rick and say, hey, I have downtime. What videos do you have on your doc? Well, we have these that need to produce. Cool. I want this one, this one, this one, this one.
Nice.
So, yeah. So it's been a very mutually beneficial situation where I've been able to, first of all, give cash flow to my old company where I still basically all my friends and my fiance and my brother all work at. And then at the same time, I've also been able to find a lot of really skilled animators who haven't necessarily been given a chance to make money off of their work and say, hey, do you want money? We will give you money to animate for us, which honestly, that's if a lot of these guys are like right out of high school or right out of college. And it would have been like a huge blessing to me if that had happened to me. So it's really nice to turn around and do that for someone else to say, hey, you have skills and I have noticed them. Would you like to work for pay?
Yeah, that's amazing to be able to do that. And they definitely appreciate that.
How about that?
And we found some really good animators through that too.
Yeah, I've seen a few of them by the other animators and they're really good too.
So I'm not sure if that's the actual answer to the question you were wanting. So
oh, that's good enough. What about the How to Train Your Dragon? That's about to be released, is that correct?
Yes, I actually finished that a couple weeks ago, but DreamWorks, it's somewhat Christmas-themed, so DreamWorks is waiting until a couple days before Christmas to post it. So it was fun. I really enjoyed it. The people from DreamWorks were honestly way more chill to work with than I thought they were going to be.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing they asked for that, generally speaking, I don't have to do is they asked for an animatic, which is a little time-consuming, but basically, I did the animatic, I sent it to them, they asked for a couple tweaks, made the couple tweaks, made the video, sent it to them, they said, sounds good. I said, all right, really? Nothing? No changes? Sick? Okay, I'm happy with this.
That's exciting. Yeah, I really can't wait to see that.
Yeah, it was fun. I really enjoyed that one.
Excellent.
So the Ionix characters were a little interesting to work with. And, like, for instance, like, the Hiccup character can't turn his head, but the Viking dude can. So, you know, having to figure... I'm not sure if, like, the Viking dude was, like, a later design or if... I don't know what was up with that, but, you know, like, so there's one character who can turn his head all around and the other character just is, like, has to shift his whole body every time he moves.
They have a lot of ball joints, correct?
They do, which actually I... Not that I like it better than Lego because Lego is classic, but the ball joints for the arms and the legs offer a lot of flexibility, which I really liked working with.
Definitely can understand.
One of the things you'll have to tell me when you see the video is they have like the miniature, like 3-4 inch dragons, and then they have like the large 12 inch dragons. And the miniature ones don't have a ton of flexibility, but the larger ones are a pain in the butt to work with. And then also the larger ones, there's only like 2 or 3 of them. So I needed an antagonist dragon. He only exists in the 3-inch form, and there's the larger dragons for the good guys. So basically I just interchanged the large with the small dragons and pretended like no one will notice. So you'll have to tell me if it actually really stands out.
Okay. I'm sure it's going to be perfect.
I watch it and it doesn't stand out, but if you're looking for it, you can totally
tell. See, that's the thing. If nobody's looking for it, they're not going to notice.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you've told everybody.
I have legs now.
So you've had the opportunity to work with several other brick filming animators. I think James Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy Williamson. I think you... what was that? That was the for the documentary or whatever.
Yep.
Paul Hollingsworth.
Paul Hollingsworth. Any others that you've worked with and any experiences you can remember about that?
Those are the only ones that I've worked with as in been in the same studio with. If you're counting like all the people we've been hiring for Tube Hero stuff, which I guess technically I haven't been working with them, but just hiring them out for stuff and then seeing what they do. If we're including those, then I've worked with a lot of people, but those are the only ones that I've actually worked with in their studios. Okay. So, and it's always interesting to see how people do things differently, because there's just so many things I take for granted that other people don't necessarily. So, for instance, working on the Brickumentary, I show up and I'm going to start animating some of the characters, and I turn to Tommy and James, like, "Cool, where's your clay?" Clay. Yeah, clay. You put it under their feet to make them balance in between. You don't have clay? Oh, okay. Toothpicks. Where are the toothpicks at? Toothpicks. What do we use toothpicks for? Well, it's so you can reach in to make the small movements when you can't get your finger. Okay, no toothpicks. Okay, I'm going to run to the store. I'm going to get some toothpicks. So, yeah, they're just... when working with other people, you find out the quirks that are distinctively yours that you just kind of take for granted.
I've got a little tray. It has my toothpicks, my putty tack, some pliers. I'd like to get some plastic pliers instead of metal ones, because I've been wrecking some of my the feet and whatnot on some of my my pieces.
Pliers will do that to you.
Yes, yes. So I'm looking for some real strong plastic pliers that won't scratch everything up. But
no, but it's nice to see how other people do things differently, and you learn from them, and it's nice to get some good ideas.
My latest experiment, which I'm experimenting with literally at this moment, is kinetic sand. I'm curious how this is going to work out. So, are you familiar with it?
No, I'm not.
Kinetic sand, it basically looks like normal sand, but there's some sort of, like, the physics has done something to it so that it sticks together and doesn't, like, spread everywhere. Which means you can actually animate with it. You can actually, so I'm having characters running around in the desert, and it's not, you aren't subject to, the sand has moved. You can't do anything with it. You can actually like bunch it up and make it move around like for their footsteps and stuff. Oh, so that's what I'm testing at the moment. I have no idea if this is going to work out or not. I think it will though. I spent like 4 or 5 hours with it yesterday. So I'm hoping that wasn't a waste of time.
Are you still editing with Final Cut?
I am still editing with Final Cut, primarily just because I bought it for my laptop right after graduating college, and it still works, and I don't really care to buy something else while the other thing is still working. Another way in which I vary from a lot of other animators is I'm incredibly cheap. Yeah. I do not like spending money on anything.
Well, we're in the same boat with you there, for sure.
And you're doing your After Effects at your old business, at your old job?
Basically, I use their systems during weekends and evenings, not necessarily just because I don't want to pay for After Effects, but because they have like the most up-to-date Mac Pro, like the little black trash can towers, and oh my gosh, they're so fast and I love them.
Well, I just started trying to learn how to use After Effects the other day, and it's a little bit of a learning curve, but hopefully I'll learn it soon.
I owe my buddy Rick Cortez for that one a lot, because he basically sat down and showed me the basics, and then for the next 2 or 3 years, up till now, like, he will get a call from me just like 9 o'clock at night. Rick, I need to make snow. Okay, go to the simulation tab, click generate snow, and then you have controls there. Cool, thank you, bye.
I envy you.
Yeah, no, I think we need to use Rick too.
Well, I've got YouTube videos. But we'll see how that goes, and hopefully I will improve
my skills.
The tutorials
go a long way.
Yes, they do. So but it's even better to have someone who knows it inside and out, just on call at all times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you animate 24 frames a second.
I do.
Are you crazy?
I have been told this on a regular occasion, so probably.
Yeah, I think I've done 2 brick films at 24 frames a second, and it's different, and it's tough to do, so I admire you for that, for sure.
Honestly, there were a couple Tube Heroes videos that like had a turnaround of a day or two. So the lady who's producing it, Julie, she comes and says, "Kevin, we need these by tomorrow. Can you make them?" "Yes, you don't need to do 24. You can do 12 or 15. It's like, okay. So I start animating at 12 or 15. And after about 2 hours, I say, I can't do this. It's so choppy. I can't do it. No, 24. Change of X, 24. I'll do it in 24 and I'll still get it done.
So you're not doing anything on the twos, I guess, where you take two pictures?
Which, I'm not dissing anyone who does, honestly. When I see someone else's work in 15 frames, I can't even tell. I'm like, that looks great to me. But as soon as I try it myself, I like cringe and say, can't do it. It's so choppy.
Definitely understand
that. Well, there's a reason you are one of the best animators, so maybe that's it.
I wouldn't put it down to that, because again, I've seen other people's work at 15, and it's good. I there were times I thought it was 24, and then they told me, I was like, wait, really? I wouldn't have known that.
Well, you know, everybody's their own worst critic, so you're going to see things that other people wouldn't notice.
Yeah, and generally speaking, when I watch other people's works, I'm looking for what they do well that I don't do well, so I can learn from them. So I know there are multiple there have been times I've seen work other people do, and I all of a sudden feel really insecure. It's like, oh no, they're able to do that? I don't know how to do that. Oh my gosh, oh, they're so much better than me. And then I watch the whole video and say, no, there's other things you're good at that they're not necessarily the best at. You're just looking for everything that everyone else is better at than you.
That's how you get better. You find someone that's doing it better and learn how to do it the way they do it.
Yeah, though the last Brick film that I did not have that reaction to was Forest Fire's zombie video. I was watching that video and I just said, I don't care if this is better. I love this. This is
Yeah. that was something else.
An incredible video. He has come along so far.
I'm not generally a fan of excessive gore, but the fact that they were zombies meant it didn't bother me at all. I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah, and he's diversified quite a bit. He's getting a lot of commission work, so.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, it's great to see, you know, Brick Filmers being able to get so much work now and be recognized more. And
I know, that feels like something that hasn't happened until like the past 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I'm happy with it.
I'm very happy with it. Yeah, no, I mean, hopefully it'll just keep getting better and more companies will choose to do that. It's such a great way to advertise and show off your product, and it's fun.
There's something more tactile about it than doing the computer animation.
I think there's an incredible value in actually having the actual toys that you're selling on screen. I know that if I was buying toys, I would actually want to see them rather than a CGI rendering of them.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. So, yeah.
And again, I'm not dissing the CGI videos that are done for Lego, especially. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Doodle Pictures, but I think they only started reworking with them in the past couple years. But they do a lot of the CGI Lego Star Wars videos, and they're great. Like, they have a much better sense of lighting than most of the CGI stuff I've seen. And I remember the moment when I noticed Lego has changed their CGI vendors, and these people are amazing. I love them. Who are they? Must find out who they are. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely CGI has its advantages, but I don't know. I guess it's the old school side of me. To me, seeing the actual product in action is just, there's just something special about it that CGI just doesn't have, for me.
Everything has its place.
Right.
Cool. What camera are you using these days?
At the moment, Canon 60D, and I was using a Canon T2i until I wore that thing completely out. So my dad gave me his old Canon 60D for my birthday last year, and quite frankly, it's pretty on par with the Canon T2i. I haven't noticed a substantial change in quality, and the Canon T2i is cheaper, so if anyone's asking, Canon T2i is the one that I would say is best value to price.
That's what we have.
Yep. Awesome. I love that camera.
Awesome. Any special lighting that you like to use?
Generally speaking, I just use an Arri kit, which is usually just a 300 and two 150s and then a 650. They're relatively expensive. They're not necessarily made for stop motion or studio lighting. I guess they are made for studio lighting.
Are those Fresnels?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
Basically, they're just what my day job company has on hand that they don't use very much. So as long as I pay for the light bulbs, they're completely fine with me using them. Like, I think an Arri kit costs like $1,500-ish.
And the light bulbs are $15 a pop or so.
Yeah, but they last like 6 months.
Yeah. And what are you doing your audio recording with?
Zoom.
A Zoom. Okay. We love our Zoom.
I am very blessed to be working at a day job that allows me to use all of their gear whenever they're not using it. So they have two pretty high quality Sennheiser shotgun microphones, and
nice.
As long as they're not on a shoot with them, here we go. I got my shotgun microphone.
Very good.
Yeah, that
very
is
good.
Nice. And we do love our Zoom too. Talk about value, great value.
Oh, Zoom is fantastic.
Amazing.
Your Lego collection. I know you borrow some here and there, but you probably have a fairly extensive Lego collection.
It is one of my biggest first world problems at the moment. It's, well, every time that I work on a video for the Lego group, they'll send me like the entire line of toys for that for that specific product line. Well, not always, but so for instance, I have, and I'm going to make everyone jealous, I have basically every Lego Star Wars set coming out between now and June of next year.
Wow.
And
yeah, we're jealous.
Two giant boxes, and I sat down and said, where the heck am I going to put all these?
I have a few sets that I haven't put together just because I have no room for them. But I don't have your problem.
I definitely have gone through my collection and said, okay, which ones of these need to be broken down and put in boxes so that I can... But then there's always that thing in the back of your mind that says, but what if I need it? What if I need it? What if I need to... I'll have to take the time to rebuild it. Oh, no!
Oh, yeah. Huh.
So how do you store your Lego? Do you sort by color?
Most of the built sets are all on like bookshelves or other shelves. I just put in a bunch of shelves up at the top of my studio so that they're all, like, I have to get on a step stool to get at them, but then they're all out of the way of my lighting. So, lots of bookshelves. And then I have the bins of stuff that I use for like just the generic building. And yeah, generally sorted by color.
Okay.
Sounds like our place.
Which, I've been at Tommy Williamson's place, and he sorts by piece type, which is a better system, but I have not taken the time to really change it out. Reason it's better is because it's much easier when looking through a bin of, like, you know, smooth 2x1s to pick out, oh, here's the gray one. I see color very quickly, as opposed to, I'm looking through the gray bin for this one shape.
That's true.
That's fun. That's my 10-year plan. Maybe I'll switch over in the next 10 years.
I'm not sure if I will ever actually switch over, but it would be better. I fully admit it would be better, and I'm just choosing not to because I don't want to deal with it.
Do you listen to music or anything else while animating or in the background?
Usually it depends on my mood. Ideally, I like listening to audiobooks, but there are times I just can't deal with listening to something semi-intelligent while working. So one of the best things I do is watch sitcoms on Netflix just in the corner because those take absolutely no brain power.
Yeah.
So, music sometimes, primarily just television shows. Generally television shows that don't necessarily involve a lot of visuals. So ones that are primarily just audio driven, the jokes are all verbal, stuff like that.
Mm. Right, yeah, you gotta have something in the background. So
yeah,
you're not crazy.
Again, ideally I would listen to books because that way I'm educating myself while working on things, but, you know, try turning on Consolation of Philosophy when you've been working a 12-hour day and try to listen to that while animating. You're like, nope, not gonna happen.
Nope. Yeah. Let's see. Anything else we got here? You did some stuff with Comic-Con?
Define did some stuff with.
Were you on a panel or anything?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've had a table in Artist Alley a couple years, but that's
cool.
About it. Tommy was trying to get us a panel at Comic-Con last year, but it didn't work out.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a favorite theme of Lego?
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Yeah, duh.
Which is now dead, unfortunately. Oh. But.
And you have a favorite video you've done, whether it's for sentimental reasons or quality or ease.
Aggravation of Smaug is my favorite video, like, hands down. That was the first video from Lego that they actually gave me a sizable budget. So that was the first time I said, cool, well, I could produce this in a month. I'm going to take 2 months on it and just make it really fun.
I think the scene with the dragon and all the gold, I love that scene. It just kind of took me back to Dragon's Lair, the video game.
Yep, I remember that video game.
You play any video game? Like, you'd have time, but...
No. Aside from the occasional Smash Brothers with my friends, and I'm the one who always gets smashed, but...
My daughter smashes me.
Yeah. So, and that's mainly just for social reasons.
Right.
My fiancé loves Smash Brothers and kicks my butt at it all the time, and she says it's incredibly hot if I ever beat her, so I try.
Hey, whatever works, right?
That's... You know you have a winner when what she wants you to do is learn to play video games better.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
We'll cover it?
We've covered most. I'd also like to say congratulations for being the Brick Filmer of the Year on the Brick Filmers Guild for the last 2 years. Maybe you'll have a little competition this year. I think there's probably about 3 or 4 of you that might have a really good shot at it, but you might go for 3 in a row.
I might. Who are the other 3, if I may ask?
I think Forrest has done some really neat work with the Scooby-Doo stuff, that and Sean, although, you know, that's kind of done through Stupid Buddy, but that and his, you know, it just depends, whatever the members vote on, you know, I only get my one vote.
I'm just curious. I would have no shame in losing to Forrest or Sean.
Right. And, you know, Paul Hollingsworth's been pretty high profile in the community with a couple of his videos this year and what he's been doing. So there's a few of you. I mean, I'll put up 10 or 12 nominations and, you know, the majority of the votes will go to 2 or 3 people. So you'll
definitely be one of them.
Be in the running. But, yeah, you're hogging that. But you definitely
but
have deserved it.
Deservingly, yeah.
Well, I haven't really done much for my channel this year, so if someone else needs to take it this year, you know what? They deserve it, I'm sure.
Yeah. You've been happy with your, was it Patreon?
Not terribly at this point. It hasn't taken off like I hoped it would, which is fine, because basically what happened was I had a lull where one of my clients had scheduled out, like, almost half an hour's worth of content, so I had basically just completely freed my schedule for like 3 or 4 months just to work on their content, and then the person in charge of licensing was a pain in the butt and all of the videos got canceled. So all of a sudden I had a 3 or 4 month span where and at this point I'm self-employed and I'm like, ah crap, what am I going to do? I have no income for the next 3 or 4 months because I've told every single other client that I'm booked. So I messaged all my other clients and said, hey, I'm free now. Please give me work. And then I still had a month or two where I wasn't really doing anything. So I said, okay, I've been thinking about this Patreon thing for a while. I should actually do that because need income. So I launched the Patreon campaign, made my first video, which was the Jurassic World in 90 seconds. And that was a pretty intensive video. And then as soon as that one came out, all of my clients came back to me and said, hey, work. So basically, I didn't really put that much into making Patreon go anywhere because I've only done one video for my channel since launching the Patreon account. So I'm hoping everyone who contributed isn't feeling gypped, but yeah, that's just kind of where I am at the moment, where I was trying to find a way to have income and like make more content for my channel. But then before that really got picked up, it went from, you know, I have nothing to do to, oh, wait, I have way too much to do for the Lego group and DreamWorks and all these other companies now. So, okay, this is back burner now.
You know,
so.
That's a good problem to have, though. So,
and I'm really hoping all my fans enjoy the work I do for the clients. So that way it's not, oh, Brotherhood Workshop is dead. It's, no, Brotherhood Workshop's posting stuff, just not on his channel.
Yeah, no, you definitely don't have to worry about that, Kevin. Not at all.
Okay, cool. That's one of the reasons I do behind-the-scenes videos, because I feel like so many of my subscribers never even see the other stuff I do. So, but behind-the-scenes video is a good way of saying, look, I'm not dead. Here, there's another video on that channel.
And people love to see that stuff, so it's always good to continue doing that.
I like to watch them because I learn a lot.
Yeah.
And honestly, one of my, like, I've thought about doing many different things with my life, and one of the things was I thought about being a film professor at a college. So doing behind-the-scenes videos is kind of a way of satisfying that desire as well.
Wow, well, I couldn't be happier for you with all your success and everything. So is there anything else you would like to have special mention?
Whew. What sort of special mention?
I mean, anything you need to promote or otherwise, we'll make sure that everybody gets the links that they need to see all of your work.
I guess the only thing I would say is, I'm guessing I'm allowed to say this. I mentioned earlier I have all the Lego Star Wars stuff from next year. That's because I'm doing a lot of Lego Star Wars videos. The budgets are pretty good, and I am having so much fun with them, and I am very proud of them. And there will be a lot of cool stuff coming out next year.
No doubt at all. We're definitely excited to see all that.
Looking forward to those.
Yep. There is one in particular. It's a really short one, like just like a 10-second video that I did. But they gave me a decent budget for it. So I said, cool, I am going to use this budget. And I was so happy with the lighting. I'm sure you guys are familiar with Avanat.
No, I'm not.
He does a lot of the Lego photography. Like, if you haven't seen his Flickr page, you should look it up because it's beautiful. He just released the book, the Small Scenes, Big Galaxy. It's just, he does a lot of photography with Lego stuff and does a lot of fantastic stuff with lighting. He's one of my primary inspirations for the look of my videos. So one of the videos that I just finished, it's one of the first ones that I looked at and said, this is almost at his quality. I love it.
Wow. We'll check it out.
He's still better. I mean, he does still images rather than stop motion, so he has a lot more leeway to, like, put fog and mist and have, like, light rays shooting across things. And, oh, it's beautiful.
And I notice a lot of people doing that, too, getting into the Lego photography side of it, which would be fun as well.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's not for me. I like doing videos much more than photography.
No, but it's fun to see, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah, I keep Avanat's images generally always as my desktop background, just to always remind myself, no matter how good your stuff looks, his is always better. Make yours look more like his.
Yeah, I don't think you need to worry, Kevin.
It's a matter of not being complacent.
Your
don't
work
want to
is
be
brilliant.
Complacent, but yeah.
Really. But we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to talk to us. This has been so much fun for us.
Likewise.
And we'll make sure that everybody, not that they don't already know, but has the easy links to find your work. We look forward to seeing more of your work, especially the upcoming Star Wars. Very exciting.
And as I said, the How to Train Your Dragon video should be out in end of December, and I will have a behind-the-scenes video with that one as well.
Yeah, I really can't wait to see that. We're huge fans of that, especially, you know, my daughter and I, we love Toothless. I mean, really love Toothless.
Yeah, I mean, a weird tangent for a moment. Toothless is so great because one of the problems with animals in modern movies is they all have the exact same mannerisms as dogs, but they didn't do that with Toothless. He's distinctly animal, but he's not a dog, which is great. So, anyway. Mini rants with Kevin.
Love it. You know, happy to do it again sometime as well.
Thanks to Kevin for being so generous with his time, and thank you to everyone who stuck with us through this entire podcast. We look forward to sharing more of these with you in the future. Please check out our sponsors and partners on the Brickfilmers Guild homepage, and please don't forget to check out Brotherhood Workshop's amazing brick films and more on his website and YouTube channel. We'd also like to thank Kevin MacLeod for his wonderful music, which we use for our podcast and in our brick films. Bye, y'all!